Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Golden State led 86-68 with 7:13 to go in the third. And then the Nets, Coach Fernandez and his squad did a great job. The Nets come away with a win, 128-120. So since that point, 7:13 to go in the third. The Warriors scored 34 points. The Nets scored 60.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. You heard Tim Roy right there, outscored by 26 in that stretch, during that stretch. And they give up a 27-6 run. Late third quarter, early fourth, stretched into the fourth quarter, and that's how you blow an 18-point lead, folks. So that's back-to-back losses for the Golden State Warriors. Back-to-back blown leads. They had a 17-point second-half lead against San Antonio, an 18-point lead last night to Brooklyn, who were shorthanded. Cam Thomas got hurt. Cam Johnson didn't even come out the locker room in the second half. He was injured. And yet Dennis Schroeder, Zaire Williams, they all make plays. Jalen Wilson found it from deep. He goes 5 of 11. This Keon Johnson was active. Shake Milton did his thing. And you look at this four-game stretch, ask as we say good morning to everybody out there getting off their graveyard shift. You know the drill, man. Teachers, cops, firefighters, overnight dancers, you name it. Hopefully you're having a great morning to drive it safe here on these wet roadways. Two straight losses. Two straight losses. We'll get the lights, Chaska. I'll get the lights for you in a second. But those two straight losses, man, to bottom-feeding-type teams. Not good. Not good. I was looking for them to go 3-1 in a four-game stretch with Atlanta, New Orleans, San Antonio, and last night, Brooklyn. So, I get the lights, fellas. Go ahead.
You know, B, that game, yeah, flip-flop those lights. Just trying to get the lighting right in here. God, that game was so frustrating. It felt like Moses Moody was having the best half of the year, you know, in the first half, and he was cooking, and I felt so happy for him. And then to see the Warriors just what felt like in complete control, had everything kind of rolling right there. And then midway through the third quarter, it was a combination of Dennis Schroeder hitting unbelievable shots, either late in the shot clock, after good defense, scramble plays, loose ball turnovers, missed bunnies. I mean, it was a slew of mistakes, and it wasn't like the Warriors were horrible, but they missed a lot of shots, and then Brooklyn came down and would hit a big momentum shot immediately after. And I know the three-point shots were something you kept referencing going into the game, and at felt like the Warriors were out shooting them in the first half after a kind of a slow start, and it thing just flipped on its head, and then it was too little too late in the fourth quarter. And you know, I threw my hands up as just a, you know, I don't pretend to know more than Steve Kerr, but I'm like, we're really going to roll with Pods here and 5 minutes to go and not get Moody back into the game just to give him a look? You know, they had a lineup of GP2, Pods, Wiggins, Draymond, and Steph, which I liked. And obviously, I would love to have seen Dre or Steph play a little earlier in that game. They just couldn't recapture what they had going. And Buddy had a tough game. Buddy missed like four or five shots late in the third quarter.
It wasn't about offense because the offensive numbers look great for the Warriors. They shot nearly 50% from the floor, and they made 19 threes. They dropped 32 assists. Those are winning numbers. 13 turnovers. Those are winning numbers. Winning numbers, fast break points. The Warriors outscored the Nets by 14 when it comes to fast break points. Points in the paint, 52-34. But in the fourth quarter, you turn the ball over seven times. In the second half, you turn the ball over seven times. You give up 15 points off those seven turnovers. Conversely, on the other side, Brooklyn, they turn the ball over seven times. They only give up 7 points off those turnovers. So points off turnovers really did the Warriors in last night. It wasn't even, like, offensively, you score a buck 20, you're supposed to win that basketball game. Obviously, defense was a problem. You give up 70 points in the second half, and they get a lot of paint touches, and they hit the three. Again, Brooklyn going into the game were top five in May threes. They're number five in the league in May threes per game. They make over 15.5 per game. Well, in Sacramento and last night at Chase Center in back-to-back games, they make a combined 39 threes in those two wins. All right? So that's what they do. They're top five in percentage from the three-point line, and 50% of their shots that they take come from the three-point line. So you knew that going in. Yet you're rolling up 18, and this is back-to-back games where Steve Kerr looks to get some production from the youth. Now, there's no J.K. for two straight games, and they missed J.K. yesterday.
I thought they missed tremendously.
They missed J.K.
Yeah.
He's been out the last two games with an illness. But the bench had a chance to put them away. And I want to get to Moody in just a second because you're right about Moody. One field goal attempt in the second half is not good enough. And he runs some sets, considering what he did in the first half. 15 points, 5 of 6, or 6 of 7. Let him cook in the second half. He only took one shot in the second half, which is crazy to me. But a lineup with Podzimski, a lineup with Slowball, a lineup with Moody at times, a lineup with Pods, not being able to stretch that lead out and put that game away, that's two nights in a row. And the reason why it's worrisome for me is because it came against San Antonio or Brooklyn. And now when you look at the schedule, folks, and it's time to buckle up if you're a Warrior fan. They're 12-5. 12-5. And the good vibes, yeah, they've been great. But you look at the next month and a half, or month plus. I'm going to just list these games until the end of the year. Oklahoma City, Phoenix, Denver, Houston, Minnesota, Minnesota, Memphis, Minnesota, Indiana, Lakers, Clippers, Suns, Cavaliers. That's the schedule through the end of the season. There's no gimme games. Kevin Durant's back with Phoenix. Bradley Beal's back with Phoenix. Oklahoma City, they've got Hartenstein back. Denver's starting to figure some things out. Houston, one of the surprises early in the season. Minnesota just went nip and tuck with Boston. We know what they can do. The schedule beefs up. It goes up to another level, so we're going to play a Steph quote because he's on it. We're going to find out the fate of this team over the next month here as we go into January, Shasky.
It's just really disheartening to blow both those games back-to-back the way that they did. And the way you viewed it as you were heading into that two-game stretch, like, got to get at least one of those, right?
Yeah, the four-game stretch, you had to go 3-1, it felt like. Atlanta, San Antonio, New Orleans. And last night in Brooklyn, you lose the last two.
It's deflating. It's absolutely deflating. And lose being up 18, almost 20 points in both games. And I will get into the schedule, but just give me a second on this guy. Something about Dennis Schroeder. I don't know what it is. This guy, he plays the Warriors so tough over the years. I know Will Bynum. I know Montrezl Harrell. If we're just going like ultimate Warrior killers.
Yeah.
Dennis Schroeder, if you told me his career stats are 25 points per game, like in a 48-minute span, I would believe you against the Warriors. He turns into a first-team all-league player.
Plays well against Steph.
He kills them. He hit a couple of teardrop shots, a bank shot late in the game. A lot of these guys were attacking Podzimski late in the game, I felt like. But I thought his effort was there, Pods, but it's just he's not the greatest defender in terms of length. And Dennis Schroeder hit some huge three-pointers. There was one where the Warriors are about to get a shot clock violation, and he misses the shot. He misses the three. Like, all right, and they can't corral the rebound. It kind of ping-pongs around for a Zaire Williamson dunk. It was one of those kind of nights.
Yeah, Zaire Williams from Stanford really started off slow last night, ended up with 19-10.
I like it.
And they went small. Look, Brooklyn didn't play. There's no Ben Simmons last night. There's no Nico Claxton. They went small. And it may have been strategic because Schroeder didn't play Sunday against Sacramento. He sat that game out. So they play Schroeder, Cam Thomas, who's never met a shot he doesn't like. He will hoist him up with the best of them. But he's a scorer, man. 6 of 11, 23 points, and he gets to the free throw line. And that's another thing with the Warriors, 11-17 from the free throw line, 64.5%. They're the worst free throw shooting team in the league. Worst free throw shooting team in the league. Mm. Brooklyn makes 26 of 30. But Schroeder is a player that, if he's out there on the open market, he's a very interesting point guard to pair with Steph, to pair with anybody. He's a gamer. And so I'm looking at Brooklyn saying, boy, can I get my hands on Cam Johnson? Can I get my hands on Dennis Schroeder? Those are the type of players that probably Mike Dunleavy is going to be looking at here at the deadline or looking to get bigger here, because I'm not sure if, like, they're 12-5 right now to go to St. Warriors, but it was concerning to me the way they blew these games.
I agree.
All of a sudden, Brooklyn looked like the more athletic and faster team. San Antonio, all of a sudden, in the fourth quarter, took it to the Warriors. Now I get it. It's on the back end of a back-to-back, and things are going to happen in the NBA. You're going to have bad shooting nights. That's the NBA, right? You're going to have duds. It's just, it is what it is over 82 games. But when you blow 17 and an 18-point lead back-to-back nights, in Brooklyn, let me tell you, they were down 18 in that third quarter. They were close to just waving in the white towel, saying, all right, let's see what happens here the rest of the way in the third quarter, and we'll just play our scrubs.
Now, that's why this game hurts so much, though, B. Like, I thought Draymond had a very forgettable second half, just in general. I mean, missing the three free throws down the stretch. Not that I think it was going to, like, win them the game, but come on, man, you got to hit those free throws. And it felt like they were hacking him on purpose, you know?
Yeah.
Like, hack a Draymond. And then Pods getting the over-the-back call and then immediately leading to free throws for them. Like, those things can't happen. And, you know, I look at, you're talking about Schroeder, right? What is Schroeder? Well, he's a guy in the half court who can make a play for you off the dribble and can set up for others. Now, at times, does he think he's an irrational number one option? Yeah, he does. But off the bench, would love to have him. One of the things that I thought they did, the game within the game, Keon Johnson and other guys were guarding Steph full court, and yep. Steph kept bringing the ball up the floor. And you could tell he was wasting so much energy just bringing the ball up the floor. That, what's the point of having Pods in the closing lineup if he's not going to bring the ball up the floor? So, I had some questions for Steve Kerr. Again, I'm not here crushing him. I'm just, why are you playing Pods if he's not going to be the one bringing the ball up the floor? Then what's the point of him playing? Like, if you're going to have Steph Curry bring the ball up the court, which I know that he wants to at times, but yesterday was a game where it felt like he drained his energy because of great ball pressure by Keon Johnson.
Good ball pressure, but keep in mind, he only played 29 minutes. He had a long, long break. And Steve Kerr's trying to make it a point to preserve Draymond and Steph Curry. But in a game like last night, in these games, you got to win. You got to win, because we could pick apart the 12 wins so far. And a lot of Warrior fans have been happy with the start. And I get it. I've been happy with the start. But in the back of my mind, I'm saying, okay, you beat up on Utah, Portland. And I'm not trying to diminish any victory. You go to Boston, you win a tough road game, but in the back of my mind, I'm thinking there was no Porzingis and Jaylen Brown. Chet got hurt. We'll see OKC on Wednesday. You know, they've had some good fortune here playing other teams not at full strength. Now, the Warriors are not at full strength, and they're missing D'Anthony Melton. Although Lindy Waters III is starting to come out of it, 13 points last night. I like this activity. But either Pods, Moody, JK, one of those three guys here with the absence of D'Anthony Melton are going to have to step up tremendously, give them consistent production. Not just consistent minutes, consistent production. And maybe that's Jonathan Kuminga. By the way, you asked about Schroeder. Lifetime against the Dubs, 18 points a game, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 50% shooting, 38 from 3 in 23 games.
Yeah, which means
he's had really good numbers in his voice.
I mean,
he always does, man, whether he's with OKC, the Lakers, the Hawks.
What did I say to you, Spadoni? I said to Spadoni literally what you just said. I was like, going back to OKC, this guy has owned the Warriors, it feels like.
He plays Steph tough, man. He's an irritant.
He hits shots. He's scrappy. He seems to make really good passes late in the shot clock. Like, I thought that they did a great job just out competing us yesterday. And okay, so you brought up the two-guard thing. Like, to me, that's why the Moses Moody thing such a head scratcher, because he played so well. You could tell that it felt like, all right, Moody realizes now I have an opportunity. I can maybe get some minutes here at the two, and he plays so good to close out that second quarter. I'm feeling great. And then it's like, you gotta find a way to get that guy back into the game.
Well, he said something after the game where he basically said that, look, I know I'm not going to get consistent minutes or something like that, but I just got to be ready. It's just the way it's been since I've been here. And it's unfortunate, because you think that, man, run him a couple plays, let him come off some pin downs, run some split action, do whatever you got to do to get him the basketball and get him rolling here. The fact that he took one shot in the second half, just kind of scratch your head a little bit.
What did he have in the first half?
15 points.
And you can't get that guy back. Well, this is the part of the 12-man rotation. It's like, well, you tell me you're going to play the hot hand. You got to kind of play the hot hand.
Well, he's speaking about the luxury of rhythm. And he goes, that's not a luxury I've had throughout my career. So I've kind of had to figure out how to play whatever happens, whatever the opportunity is. I just kind of deal with whatever. I just kind of deal with it. So 888-957-9570, what's your big takeaway from the last two nights, man? These are bad, bad losses.
I agree.
Bad losses. Let's go to Jonathan and Hayward, then we'll get to Coach Vallejo. Jonathan, what's happening?
Hey guys. I couldn't sleep. I Bonte knows I was there last night. I waited 2 months after what was maybe one of the most miserable baseball seasons I've had in a while, where the highlight of my season was watching the Marlins take 2 or 3 from the Giants. Otherwise, we know what the Giants did. Saying goodbye to the A's 2 months ago, literally to the day of last night's game. And then to go out there and see what they did against Brooklyn, it wasn't the Nuggets last year. It wasn't even the Bulls or Sacramento. It was the Brooklyn Nets, and to see them just completely fall apart in the second half, get outplayed three out of four quarters, and just look so lost out there. I almost, except for Steph's play, didn't recognize that team. And I'm already worried. It's one game in, and for me, and my next game is the Rockets. Can they show up for that? Or otherwise, with the holidays coming, I'm not going to get back till January, and that's when Miami's there. And that's when I want to see the performance of last night, if anything's going to come out of me for this season. So they already gave me one loss. I'd like to see that against Miami, but I don't want to see it any other games.
You got a long way, Jonathan. And I love Jonathan. I see him at the Gatehouse after every game, man. He's a Miami Heat fan.
Sounds exhausted.
He is exhausted. He was there last night. He always, as soon as the show's over, he's got to give me his two cents, man, about what's going on. And he's worried about the upcoming schedule. And he was distraught last night. It's like, how did that happen? I don't know how that happened. When you look at the numbers, you're thinking, these are winning numbers. These are winning numbers. 41% from three, 48% from the field,
how many
32
happened?
Assists. What?
But how many of those, like, I you're right when you look at the box score, but it felt like to me that all happened between, like, the midway through the first quarter and midway through the third quarter. It felt like the front end and the back end.
Well, the fourth quarter was atrocious, but even in the fourth quarter, you scored 28 points in a quarter. That's still quality.
What did they give up?
But you gave up 41, and that's where I'm going. Offensively, you were fine.
Yeah.
Offensively, you had winning numbers, all right? But Brooklyn turned the ball over 12 times. The Warriors turned the ball over 13 times. Those are great turnover numbers in the NBA. But the difference is the Warriors gave up a basket off of each of those turnovers, and Brooklyn only gave up 12 points.
Well,
so getting out there, getting on the three-point line, I mean, you saw it right away with Brooklyn. They jumped out to a 9-2 lead. A 9-2 lead. Three threes. Boom, boom, boom. You know what Brooklyn was going to do with the three-point shot. So free throws, again, the free throw thing, I think the most alarming thing through 17 games is the fact that they're dead last at free throws under 70% as a team. But that, I can't compute that. To go to St. Warriors dead last in free throw shooting? What?
But who's a good free throw shooter besides Steph? You would think Buddy.
Buddy. Wiggins has been better this year. He was two for three last night. Yeah, he's a low
mediocre.
70s. But he's actually, on this team, he's been good. He's had some good nights. He went 9 for 9 the other night for the free throw line. Wow, Andrew Wiggins, 9 for 9.
Kuminga hasn't been great this year.
Draymond hasn't been great.
Pods has been horrible.
He's at 60%.
I mean, Dre smoked three layups to end that game.
TJD.
Or three free throws.
TJD and Looney are in the 50s. So, yeah, the free throw shooting is still surprising that they're dead last.
They missed Kuminga's athleticism so much last night.
They did.
So much last night. I mean, I saw GP2 miss multiple around the rim. TJD missed multiple around the rim, which led to breakouts. Like, just they got into the paint. You know, they did. They got into the paint. They just couldn't finish, it felt like. And then that Buddy wasn't hitting, and it felt like Buddy wasn't a weapon last night. That happens.
Yeah, Buddy was struggling. Shooters are going to have nights like that. Shooters are going to have nights. He was 3-12 last night, 9 points, and slowly the bench, which was averaging about 60 points a game to start the season, they're now down to 52. So now the bench production is starting to wane a little bit as Paz tries to find a rhythm. And Buddy Hill goes through a little rut here. So a lot going on here. Coach, we're going to get to you on the other side. Probably should add, because I want to hear from Coach. I know he's a passionate Warrior fan. 888-957-9570. The last two losses, any cause for concern moving forward? Or is this just a blip in the radar? Just a little speed bump? Again, the schedule over the next OKC, Phoenix, Denver, Houston, Minnesota, Memphis, Minnesota, Pacers, Lakers, Clippers, Cavs. The schedule beefs up, folks. Any cause for concern here about the Golden State Warriors? After they blow back-to-back games, San Antonio had a 17-point lead. Last night they had an 18-point lead. They lose back-to-back games. They go 2-2 and have their five-game home winning streak snap last night at the hands of the Brooklyn Nets. All right, 888-957-9570. We will get to the 49ers because there's still a lot there after they got blown out in Green Bay. Don't look pretty for Buffalo either. We'll get to that. Baldy's going to join us at 8 o'clock. Sam Gordon from the Chronicle at 9:20. That's all coming up, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is Moses Moody, and you're listening to The Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
Moses Moody last night, 6 of 8 from the floor, 15 points. 15 all coming in the first half last night. And really nasty loss. Really nasty loss.
It's so frustrating.
It's hard to compartmentalize what happened last night. They were up 18 midway through the third quarter, rolling. Going 11-0 run. Let's call a timeout. And it felt like just looking at the Brooklyn bench, it's like, okay, a couple more minutes. Maybe you stretch your lead out to 20, and they're going to tap out and say, you know what, we got our win last night in Sacramento. We'll pack it up. We'll fly to Chicago in our road trip and move on from there. Or actually, they don't go to Chicago. Or they go to Phoenix. They go to Phoenix Wednesday. Brooklyn does. Let's take it to Atlanta, who went to Chicago after the Warriors game. But the Warriors give up an 11-0 run right away. And it's like, damn, there's no resistance. And boom, 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 shooters get into the paint. And then they all start getting hot. Zaire Williams got hot. Shake Milton hit a couple big shots. Keon Johnson was all over the place at number 45. I was like, who the hell is he? They had a bunch of no-namers where you're thinking, these guys are playing for their jobs and are playing desperate.
Watford with a catch-and-shoot three. Yeah. I mean, like a straight teardrop.
Straight teardrop.
One point, the NBC broadcast, I'm watching on mute in real time, right, because I'm trying to put the baby to bed and whatever, and I'm back and forth, and he woke up. And so I'm watching on the phone and the iPad on mute, and I'm saying, I see a graphic across the screen late in the third quarter. It might have been early fourth quarter. 9 different Brooklyn Nets have hit a three.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn.
That's what they do.
I know.
That's what they do.
Zaire Williams is a really nice player.
He's a kid. Remember, he was with the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, I do remember.
And they were in that playoff series. And he's 6'9". He's got good size.
Yeah, he's nice.
Young man from Stanford. So they've got a lot of projects over there, but early on, he looked overwhelmed, and next thing you know, he ends up with a double-double play, 37 minutes, 19-10.
And then going at Draymond at times.
Going at Draymond. Schroeder, there was something there with Schroeder and Draymond.
Well, you
think?
There was something there.
Because he was trying to go at Draymond yesterday. Draymond didn't have his best night.
Second half was very forgettable.
Yeah, well, you know what? I wonder, because he didn't play for so long. Steph and Dray was on the bench for so long. And I get Steve Kerr wants to manage the minutes. But last night, Draymond Green finishes with 28 minutes and 55 seconds. Steph Curry finishes with 29 minutes and 28 seconds.
Yeah, but that's a game. Just the way I view it, and I'd love to hear Steve's perspective, but like after you lose the San Antonio game, you got to win the net game.
What I was about to say here was, it's at the point where I got to stagger one of these guys.
That's what I'm saying.
Draymond and Steph have to be on the floor out. One of these guys have to be on the floor at all times. It almost feels like that. These are two superstar players. One's your defensive anchor. So they sat out for so long. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, the lead is whittling away. The lead is whittling away. You want to cut off the water. You want to steal momentum here. And they don't get back into the game until the fourth quarter.
I had seven here.
Yeah, I got seven.
Draymond checks in at 7:29.
So I was going to say 7:28.
Okay.
Same thing. Yeah, same thing. So they didn't get into the 7:29 mark, both Steph and Draymond.
Yeah.
Because I was, in real time, I was like, damn, all right, 8-minute mark.
That's what I'm saying.
9-minute mark. All right, maybe you want to get them back in. So you get them back in, you're down 4, 101 to 97. Now, there's a big call on the floor where there's a challenge where Draymond Green, you thought he got the charge.
Yes.
He said they get the and one.
Yeah.
They go up six. It was a pivotal play in that basketball game late in the fourth quarter to kind of let you know that it wasn't going to be the Warriors' day. As it was a coach's challenge there. Warriors challenge it. It was a correct call on the floor. Jalen Wilson makes his layup. They go to the free throw line. They go up 6, 105 to 99. And that's basically all she wrote.
I mean, Curry stepped out of bounds. You know, like, there were so many little things. Curry had a couple of bad turnovers to start the game. Draymond had a horrible turnover to start the game. They were just kind of sleepwalking through this game.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, boom, they went on a run. And I thought, oh, they're in complete control. And then they went back to sleepwalking late in the third.
It was unbelievable. Up 18. They were rolling, dude. They were rolling. Yeah, I had no idea. It was like, you look up, you're like, wait, they're down 5? Wait a minute, Brooke. And we saw it at the end of the third quarter, like, uh-oh. But Jonathan Kuminga didn't play the last few nights. And I see where they missed Jonathan Kuminga. Now, JK's got to play better. There's no doubt about it. But just his energy, his ability to get downhill, and an extra perimeter defender. When you see Schroeder out there cooking, and the Brooklyn Nets go small, and their small beats the Warriors small last night. It really did. That's where Kuminga can make a difference, whether it's Schroeder, whether it's Watford, whether it's Keon Johnson, whether it's Cam Thomas, Cam Johnson, whether who was Zaire Williams.
Yeah.
That's where Kuminga's importance really, really set focus. And there's a role for him on his team. They're going to need him against OKC on Wednesday night. You better believe that.
Well, the issue, again, it's one game. I'm not losing my mind. But the issue I had was the closing, whatever, 5-6 minutes to go. You're going to go with Pods, GP2. Like, okay, if you're going to go GP2, you got to give me a bigger guy who can knock down a three alongside of him. Like, that's, you can't have Dre and GP2 and Pods to close that game. And Steph, A, it's too much defensive liability, not enough height, and B, I don't think you have another shooter out there.
No shot maker.
And you saw Steph Curry was struggling to get off of the guy he was with.
No doubt.
I didn't love Pods being out there. And I'm not one of these, like, Pods is the worst player in the world, but on a night where Moody looked like he was cooking,
yeah,
the coach just didn't go back to him.
We'll get to some Moody sound in just a second here. Coach and Vallejo, then we'll get to the Warriors' future focus. Coach, what's happening?
So, you're on the road.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. And your open narrative, both you guys are hit it right on. And I have 10 things to say, but I'll only pick 3, okay, because I know you have other callers. Number one is I'm going to give you, and I told you so. Last time we talked, I told you Moody could hit 5 shots in a row and Kerr would take him out for no reason and don't play him again. Remember when I said that? That example was last night. Number two, Buddy Hield, okay? If you notice, Buddy Hield's scoring and lack of scoring coincides with Jonathan Kuminga not being on the court, okay? Kuminga and Hield together, Kuminga creates so much gravity and demands so much attention. He opens it up for Buddy Hield, and as you see in the last two nights, no Kuminga, Buddy Hield's production goes down. Okay, so those two work really well together.
They do,
okay?
Off the bench,
and number three, Shasky, you're right on. I believe you're right. No shooters in the last minute, in the last 8 minutes of the game. Where was Buddy? You still got to play Buddy Hield because you never know when he's going to get hot. Yeah. You got to play Moses Moody. He was cooking. You don't play these guys. He's playing Kyle Anderson way too much. Now, the Warriors are a fast team only if Kuminga is still there. He's one of the few players in the league that speeds up the whole team. And so, last thing I got to say, and it's kind of painful for me to say, but if Pods is on the court, he can't create for himself. He dribbles down the shot clock and he throws the 100% ball to the last person, you know, with 4 or 5 seconds to go, trying to build up the assist. On defense, he's hunting charges instead of playing defense, okay? And that's something to be addressed. He wants to lead the league again and taking charges. Play defense out front. I would love to see Pods do that. And it's painful for me to say some of these things, but what I'm saying is what I see, and I appreciate the opportunity of you guys. Let me say this.
Absolutely, Coach. Absolutely. JK, you can see the difference. Having JK next to Buddy Hield, it does open it up. Coach makes a great point. And I was just thinking the San Antonio game up 17. He would be in that situation where it's time to close the game. And JK, in that situation, if you're up 17, 18, you can deviate from the motion off and say, hey, JK, just get us some buckets here. close the show. Get downhill. Go dunk on somebody's head. Hit your mid-range jumper. It's seal the deal. And that's where you're missing J.K., the extra scorer, and an extra defender. That's what they missed in the fourth quarter, as Brooklyn lights them up for 41 points in the fourth quarter. Having that extra defender, to your point, having GP2, Brent Podzimski, and I was trying to figure out the lineups as well. I was like, boy, you need to stop. And Podzimski's out there battling. He's hustling. He's fighting. But last night was not a good matchup for him. It just wasn't.
He's not as fast as Schroeder.
No,
and Schroeder's going to shoot right over him, even though they're both about the same height.
And so going to J.K. in that situation, if you had a J.K. out there where you have a bigger, longer defender, that helps. So real quick, Shask, we got to get to the Warriors' focus, future focus here on the Morning Roast.
Let's focus on the Dubs' future.
I have to tell you about the future!
Warriors' future focus is presented by Peralta Community College District with Laney, Berkeley City, Merritt, and the College of Alameda.
All right, stay ready. Moses Moody was dialed in during the first half last night, scoring all 15 points. 15 of his points in the first half. Of course, he was 6-7 in the first half. Did the halftime interview, and he punctuated his first half with this three.
Curry now gets the switch. The pass is to Moody. Instead, Moody's been hot. He buries another triple on the right side. Warriors go up by 10. Moses Moody has 15.6 of 7 shooting.
The quarter of Moody.
Moody was dynamic in that second quarter, lighting it up there, giving the Warriors a lead. The Warriors jumped out in that second quarter on a 16-3 run to flip the basketball game. 16-3 run to start the second quarter. They scored 37 in that quarter, outscored the Brooklyn Nets by 13, and they took a 9-point halftime lead. And it felt like it was all good as Moses Moody scored 12 of his 15 in that second quarter, 5 of 5. In just 3 minutes and 15 seconds, 2 of 2 from the 3-point line. How about that? 12 points in just 3 minutes and 15 seconds of action in the second quarter for Moses Moody. That was the Warriors' future focus. Just like we love the future of the Dubs, Peralta Community College District encourages you to love your future too. Go to peralta.edu and apply today. More coming up on the Morning Roast here. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. 888-957-9570. Is it time for more Moses Moody? 888-957-9570. What's the deal with Moody not getting a lot of action there in the second half? Just one field goal attempt. Is it time for more Moody? What's going on with the Dubs? They're 12-5, but they've lost back-to-back games, blowing a 17 and 18-point lead, respectively. Not good for the Dubs as they lose two in a row here. 888-957-9570 is the number. Somebody just said, what about the Sharks, Celebrini? Oh, we'll have our 60 seconds of Celebrini. Don't you worry, 925.
Gah!
Sharks beat the Kings 7-2.
Gah!
All that coming up on the Rust.
Off the screen, Schroeder gets Podzimski. 10 on the shot clock. Likes the matchup, takes him on a drive, stops and pops a bank shot and kissed it in.
Boy, this guy's been special.
Really good tonight.
Special.
That's as good as we've seen him play ever. Yep. He's got 25, 27 points out.
The Morning Roast is live on YouTube right now. Take it away, Bonte.
All right, Steph last night, 8 of 17. 16 of his 17 field goal attempts coming from the three-point line. 28 points, 7 assists. He usually bounces back well. And then have subpar nights like you did in San Antonio. But you hear Tom Tolbert and Tim Roy on the call right here on 95.7 The Game. Dennis Schroeder's just sensational last night. Lifetime 18 points a game against the Golden State Warriors in 23 games. 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 49% shooting, and 38 from 3. But last night, 31 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, 10 of 18 from the floor, 4 of 8 from the 3-point line. He was not on my scouting report. I'm looking at the Cams, Cam Johnson and Cam Thomas. Because Schroeder didn't play Sunday night against Sacramento. Well, he got the rest, and he looked rested. And he went at Pods, and he went at whoever was in front of him last night. And he had a magical night. Magical night at Chase Center. The Warriors lose their second consecutive game. So, Dub Nation, 888-957-9570. How's everybody feeling after the great start? They were 12-3, now 12-5. And the schedule, boy, it heats up. It heats up. I'll just read off these names real quick as the segment is sponsored by Golden State. Serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. This schedule, Shasky, as we play Binocular Bonte game here. Binocular Bonte. OKC. Phoenix. Denver. Houston. Minnesota, Minnesota, Memphis, Minnesota, Indiana, Lakers, Clippers, and Phoenix, and Cleveland. And that doesn't even take into account the Emirates NBA Cup and who they could play in that schedule. So there's no gimme games on the schedule for a long, long time. And this felt like a gimme game.
Yeah, it just feels like they got to get Kuminga back for the time being. And there seems to be some redundancy in regards to role. And I think that that leads to some confusion and some frustration from players, the fans, other star players. 12-player rotations aren't sustainable. They just aren't. And I know that they want to start TJD, right? Mm-hmm. But ideally, TJD is a backup center. He's not a starter. He starts only in jest. And then I look at, like, the GP2, Moody, you know, one of those guys can go, one of those guys can stay. Because you want to empower the other guy, right? It feels like if GP2 plays, it comes at the expense of Moody. If Moody plays, it comes at the expense of GP2. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm missing something. Pods, with all due respect, Pods has not been good at all this year. And I think that they really, really miss the second ball handler, like big time. And everything that we wanted Pods to leap forward with, shooting more from the outside, being a playmaker in the half court, really none of it's come to fruition.
Yeah.
Defensively, he's been, I would say, more of a liability than he has some net positive. And so, like, I think those wings, the redundancy of who's playing, who's not playing, is really frustrating everybody. Right now,
it is.
Buddy Hield has a very specific role. Buddy's locked in. I have no problem with Buddy. And then I know Kyle Anderson's going to be your other kind of ball handler big. He's been hit and miss this year. And I feel like he plays at the expense of, like, Kevon Looney, for example, at times. So I think that they got to do, like, a 3-for-2 swap or a 2-for-1 swap, or they got to do something to kind of, like, make it a little easier and more defined when it comes to these roles. And I think the players will take off once they do it.
Well, Draymond and Steph sat for a long time yesterday. Didn't re-enter the game until the 7:29-28 mark of the fourth quarter, when the lead had basically dissipated. They go from having an 18-point lead to being down 4. Wow, what happened here? 27-6 run by the Brooklyn Nets completely flipped the game. But Steve Kerr will have to, and this is something we discussed early in the season, at some point you have to figure out who your top 9 is. Top 9, top 10. And go from there. And if feelings are going to get hurt, it's pro sports. It's pro sports. They got to buck up here. So feelings will get hurt. TJD, look, he wasn't been a problem. You're right, to your point. Is he a starting center in the league? Look, he's a spot starter. He's played 15, 17 minutes a game. I like the combination between Looney and TJD. Exactly. But last night they didn't have it as Brooklyn went small, which is not a game, you know, for TJD and Kevon Looney. It forces you to go small. And the Warriors' small ball lineup looked slow at times. It didn't look as dynamic. It didn't look as quick. And that's without Jonathan Kuminga, of course. Andrew Wiggins is doing his thing, 7-13, 18-5. Andrew Wiggins is on a heater. I've got no issue with Andrew Wiggins right now with the way he's playing basketball. But to your point about having another ball handler, a double MR said this on the Comcast Business Text Line last hour.
What was that?
The loss of De'Anthony Melt has already been felt. It's already been felt. Just when Steve Kerr settled on a first five, a starting unit, and everything slotted well behind him, now you miss him. And you knew he could be an injury risk when you signed him. You knew that. Everybody knew that. And unfortunately, he only played 6 games. So how do you fill that void with De'Anthony Melton, who, you look at Schroeder going crazy yesterday, that's De'Anthony Melton's guy. That's the guy he'd be defending. So got to figure that spot out. You got to get better production, no doubt, from Pods. You have to get more consistent play from J.K. And Buddy Hield, look, he has a specific role, but they're going to need Buddy Hield to be consistently that third scorer coming off the bench outside of Andrew Wiggins and Steph. It is what it is.
Well, and then a guy I didn't reference also is Lindy Waters, right? And, like, Lindy Waters has been playing, and I think that they're trying to make it work, but right now, he's the odd man out for me, right? Like, I want him to get going, but it feels like if his shot's not falling, he's having a tough time. He took the ball to the rack hard yesterday on one layup, but other than that,
well, he has good size for his position. I think they love his size.
Yeah,
he works hard.
Impacting the game?
Yeah, no doubt. Is he a starting 2 guard in the NBA? We don't know. Now, the last 2 nights, he's been better, so he is trending up, but he did go through a little lull. And it must be tough for him. I mean, think about it. You're in Oklahoma City. You're playing for the Oklahoma City Blue, the G League team. Then you're not playing for Oklahoma City, the big boy team. Then you get traded next thing. You know, you start next to Steph. Wow, what a story that is. But you need consistency. We keep talking about this on a pregame show on NBC Sports Bay Area. One of these guys going to have to step up.
Yeah.
Lindy Waters, Moses Moody, Brandon Pajimski, JK, TJD. They need the youth movement to step up here. There's no doubt the infusion of youth has to keep the energy up in these basketball games. There's no way they should be blowing a 17-point lead and an 18-point lead to the San Antonio Spurs and the Brooklyn Nets. It's unacceptable.
No, it is. But I think when you have, you know, on any given night, issues with right. who's going in when, how long do you ride a hot hand, when do you go back to somebody, you know, I think it's tough. I think it's a lot easier on paper. Oh, we got 12 deep. No, it's just hard. I think it's really, really, really hard. I don't know. I mean, I feel like we've been saying this for 3 years. It feels like a trade is imminent.
Oh, I mean, Brian Windhorst was a lion, and the Warriors showed you in the offseason they're willing to make some moves.
Cam Thomas, all over the internet yesterday, it's been reported that the Bucks have been interested in him. Other people have been interested in him. He had a really nice showing until he hurt his foot, didn't return in the game.
Guy I would like on that team.
Would love Johnson. To get me a Cam Thomas.
I would love a Cam Johnson.
And he's making like $5 million a year.
Yeah.
Why are you smiling, Spadoni?
I just think it's funny the Bucks are interested because 2 weeks ago Giannis was going to be a Warrior, and now the Bucks are interested in adding players.
Yeah, I don't know if I want Cam Thomas because he's never met a shot he doesn't like. He's got a quick first step, and he's liable to drop 50 in a game.
But he also had a couple of nice passes out of the block.
He did. He had one assist yesterday. Cam Johnson would be the guy I'm intrigued with
because
of his size, and he's a 3-and-D guy, and he just knows how to play the game very well. But you know what? That's on Dunleavy, man. They're going to have to figure out what to do. Time Lord is healthy in Portland. Robert Williams, he's a guy I'm intrigued with.
I would
with his size,
love him.
Block shot, his ability to block shots. So 888-957-9570. The Warriors will be active. If somebody's going to make a deal because the West is yet to separate. And somebody's going to want to separate themselves in a Western Conference. So who's going to be the Dallas Mavericks the last season? Who's going to make the deal for P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford like the Mavericks did last season? Who's going to be this version of P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford? Who's going to strike first? When you look at the Western Conference, right now the Warriors are a game out of Oklahoma City, 17 games in. By January 1st, what is this record going to look like? Where's the West going to be? Will the Memphis Grizzlies still be in the top five? Will Denver still be out of the top five? Will Phoenix get rolling? Will Minnesota get rolling? If the playoffs started today, Minnesota wouldn't even be in a play-in game.
Wow.
How crazy is that? How crazy is that? They're 8-8.
Julius Randle.
So
who would have thought?
Somebody's going to make some moves here. Who's going to be the first team to strike and try to get a good deal done? You got to figure that Joe Lacob and company are always working the phones.
Yeah, yeah.
Always. So they see what time it is here, and we're going to get it. You know, the barometer is set now. We're going to see how good the Warriors are over the next 3-4 weeks here. We're going to figure out how good they are because they're playing some big boy teams.
And there's a lot of pressure on them for the Bay Area fan psyche right now. Like, if the Niners aren't going to do anything, the Warriors have to be relevant. Like, I'm just being real. From my psyche, from my soul, I need the Warriors to be good. If the Niners are going to, like, bow out, in the words of, who was the guy in the Avengers? Come on, at the end, come on. Thanos? A soul for a soul. Like, I need the Warriors to step in
here.
You
really sell your soul, your Niner soul for the Warriors?
Well, one of them has to have life.
Hey, Hot Stove's coming up, Joey. Come on, Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys. Big moves happening.
Oh, yeah, you guys got a podcast?
That we're going to record tomorrow. Five guys.
Seriously?
Yeah.
We're waiting to see if Ha-Seong Kim actually signs first, though.
Oh, yeah, that's been a rumor for years.
Five guys, five teams, guys, the Burgers, have presented offers to Juan Soto. The Giants are not one of them.
Yeah, why should they? He's not coming.
Are the A's one of them?
They're the mystery team.
They're presenting offers to Portland, Nashville.
I heard the Kim deal was done like 2 weeks ago.
Well, he's got like a labrum injury. That doesn't.
Yeah, well, that
like,
doesn't. Yeah.
His name isn't Willie Adames. So, like, what are we doing here?
Well, Adames, I mean, look, you didn't even know who Willie Adames was 2 years ago.
And it, sure, whatever.
Yeah, that.
I forgot you're locked in on the Brewers.
No, I'm just saying he had a great.